Thanks for tuning in to our podcast, Leaders, Followers, and everything in between. We love having you here. It is our mission to bring you all of the latest and greatest tips and skills and know-how and how to make your personal life and business life the very best it can be. We know that you have it in you. We believe in you. We just want to show you how. My next guest is an international affairs enthusiast. She's traveled to the Middle East and various parts of the world on numerous occasions, leading trips and allowing people to discover their heritage from Israel and all over the world. She loves to let people know that they can be encouraged in their faith. She is a social media phenomenon. She has millions of people that have liked her posts and her comments online. She is a perfect example of someone that uses social media as a force for good rather than a force for evil. We are having a very exciting episode of Leaders, Followers, and everything in between. We have this wonderful talk that we're talking about today. It's called It's a Matter of Faith. They want to say it's a matter of fact, but if you don't have faith, you can't have facts, right? And so we have my new friend here, Destiny, very, very special guest. She's got that sauce. She's got that drip. She's about to let you know about some of the things that matter most, right? And some of the things that is most important. The Irish have a story. They tell a story of a man who dies and he goes up to heaven. And of course, you know, you see St. Pete. And St. Pete meets the guy and he looks at the guy and the guy has no scars on him. He has everything looks so prim and so proper and so sophisticated. He looks like he's had like a spotless life. And all of a sudden, St. Peter looks at him and shakes his head. And he says, was there anything worth dying for? Was there anything worth struggling for? You see, this man had lived his whole entire life taking the path of least resistance. This young lady that we're bringing on today, she has not taken that path. Everyone, please welcome Destiny. What's going on?
Hey, thank you for having me.
Yes, yes, yes. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from and where'd you grow up and everything like this?
Yeah, so I'm Destiny. I'm born and raised in mid-Missouri. I have a wonderful family. I'm the oldest of three kids, so I love to be in charge of things. I love to, tell everyone, hey, this is the plan. This is what we're going to do. And that's really who I am in a nutshell. I grew up in church, and I, to this day, churchgoer, but also love being in charge of things. I love to be involved in everything and just living a good life. And
It's funny that you say that, being in charge of things, because you're a leader. And you know why leaders stand up? Because there's a void. And one of my teachers and one of my good friends is, I don't know if you ever heard of Ken Blanchard. He talks about servant leadership. Mm. And one of the most powerful things about servant leadership, mm-hmm. is you look at Charlemagne, the great Roman leader. You look at Socrates, you look at Caesar, Julius Caesar, Alexander the Great, Demosthenes, all these great leaders of history, of antiquity. What you find is that a lot of people follow them out of a sense of fear. They ruled with fear. Genghis Khan, they were conquerors. Alexander was a conqueror. He conquered the world by the time he turned 30 years old. And Caesar, the same way, he was a conqueror. Nero was a conqueror. But when you look at Jesus Christ, he was a humble servant, never held an elected office, but he was just this powerful man. And I had a revelation the other day, and here's the revelation. And he said, most people rule and they flaunt their power. This is Jesus speaking. He says, most people try to rule, but they flaunt their power. Mm-hmm. But he said, I'm the only leader that you've ever met that I don't flaunt my power, but I've come to you as a servant. And mm-hmm. that is the essence of who Jesus is. That is the genius of Jesus. He came to serve. He was like, I'm just a servant. He's like, I could really just boss over you, but I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to just be a servant. And that just blew me away, because it just kind of taught me something that it seems obvious, but sometimes things aren't as obvious, Mm-hmm. So what's your take on servant leadership?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think there's a difference between someone who rules and lords over people versus someone who genuinely cares about the betterment of the group, someone that wants every individual on a team to succeed in whatever the task at hand is, but also in their life after they lead, right? That makes all the difference. Mm. It makes a huge difference, not just leading to be, I do enjoy being in charge of things, but it's not just so I can boss everyone around and tell them what to do. I actually enjoy seeing the progress in people's lives. Yeah. That's the key.
And I definitely sense that from you. You have a sense and a presence about you that's almost like a shepherd. And anyone that has met you or has interacted with you know one thing. And that one thing is that you genuinely care for people. And I feel that's if I could say one thing that came across in our interactions is that it's the love, the my Jewish brothers and sisters, they call it a hasid. It's that deep, profound Hebraic love. It comes from the gut. It's like from the gut bucket south. It comes from the, as the people in the South say, the innards of you. And it comes out. And that's a love that comes from God. That's a love that comes from Christ. And that's powerful. And have you always been this wonderful? Because I know you call yourself the wonderful destiny. Have you always been this magnificent, always been this great, perfect Christian, amazing, person? Or was there a time where you just was like, man, I'm not really living for God. I'm not really living right. And I need to, have a real radical change.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good question. So, I don't have this amazing testimony where I was, living a wild life in the fast lane and then I had this big turnaround. Really, I grew up in church I have a really wonderful God-fearing mother who comes from a long line of God-fearing mothers. And when I was a little girl, even though I wasn't my own love for the Lord quite yet, there would just be these moments where I would look up at the sky and I would see the beautiful Missouri stars. And I just felt in those moments sometimes that God was real and that I had his attention in that moment. Wow. And I would just focus in on that. And 28, now that I'm 28 years old, years later, I've grown up and I've gone through so many things and I've seen so many things and I've been so blessed with more opportunities, more than I could ever imagine. But I just still want to be that girl. Mm-hmm. I just want to still be that little girl in awe of the creator and that he would take time to lock eyes with me in that moment. Now there have been times.
Now we get to the juicy part.
How much can I get away with, right? How much can I, not act right? And it doesn't even have to be anything crazy. I think sometimes when we think about, living right before the Lord or pursuing righteousness, we're thinking like, oh, like something big, something like, walking away from drugs or, something on a larger scale. But, really it can just be, that conviction in your heart saying, you shouldn't have made that negative comment about that person, even though you were talking to your friend who you trust. You shouldn't have said that, so. Even though, yes, I do, I would call myself a woman of God. I would call myself a woman of faith. And I have been walking with the Lord for most of my life. We don't always, no one is that 100% of the time. Yeah. But God knows that about us. And God chose us knowing that about us. So we don't have to, that isn't something that we need to hide. God sent Jesus to die on the cross for us, knowing that we were sinners while we were still sinners, it says in Romans 5. So that's how I live my life. And
amen. And I think that sometimes could be a bit of a conundrum for people, especially people that don't necessarily have faith. They have this, it's a false nomer that says, hey, this person is a believer in God, so that means they're perfect. No, I always tell people, I'm just a beggar that found bread that's telling everybody where the bread is.
Yes.
I'm just as messed up. I'm just as screwed up. I'm just as, But the difference is I know that, and I know where my source lies. I know where the answers is. You know, a lot of people, they have problems, but they don't know where the answer is. I'm someone that has a lot of problems, but I know who my answer is. I know who the answer is, you know?
Right.
Where does your passion come from? You go on the internet, you go on these platforms, and a lot of people actually follow you, and a lot of people adhere to a lot of things that you are talking about. Where does that passion come from? And have you always been this passionate?
It's a great question. So I would say my passion really comes little bit at a time. You know, to be honest, I think sometimes when we talk about having passion or devotion for something, we think it just maybe starts with this giant flame, right? But the truth is sometimes that flame grows little bit at a time, you know, just caring for it little bit at a time. I was trying to start a bonfire at my mom's house last week, and it didn't end up happening because it was too cold. And the youth at my church were like, can we just stay inside? We're too cold.
How cold is it where you're at?
Whatever. It's about 30 degrees.
Wow, that's pretty
bad. Yeah, it's chilly. But, you know, even if that bonfire had, you know, gone the way I had planned it to go, I wouldn't have started that fire and expected it to be this huge flame at first. You know, you have to start with one match, one, yeah, you know, branch that you light something else on fire and it grows. That's how my love for the Word of God has been over the years. It didn't start out with me being like, oh yes, I love the Bible and you know this. But now it's seen me through so much. You know, the Word of God has comforted me and been all I had through so much. And that grows and that grows and that grows.
Yeah. I want to talk about that. Can you share, like, tell me about like a hardship or mm-hmm. some sort of trial or tribulation that you've gone through that was very profound? And obviously that, you know, that people, we've all gone through them. And how did your specific faith help you get through that hard time, that get through that trial? Or it can be something that, like, you lost a loved one, whatever the case might be. What is the trial, and how did your faith specifically help you get through it?
Gibson, about 4 years ago, it felt like my life was falling apart. It might have actually been more like 3 years ago, but it felt like my life was falling apart. I got into a car accident. I was having health issues. There was someone that was put in my life to really test me. Actually, two people that were put in my life to really test me, and in different areas of my life. Also, it just felt like everything was falling apart. And there was one morning I woke up. I happened to be in Minneapolis, and it was a rainy morning in Minneapolis in November. It is not warm in Minnesota in November. And I was just sitting there like, God, you're going to have to meet me. You know, I need you to help, because it just feels like everything is falling apart right now. And I started reading Psalm 18, and it says, actually, I've got my Bible right in front of me. I won't make it up. I'll read it. Psalm 18 just has beautiful passages, beautiful verses that got me through that season. It says, the Lord rewarded me for doing right, and he restored me because of my innocence. And, you know, in that moment, like particularly in the car accident situation, the guy who hit me, he wasn't cooperating with the insurance company, and it looked like I might have to pay for some damages to my car. It was a whole mess. But I just kept saying, you know what, God, I believe that you will reward me for doing what's right. And I believe that you will restore me because of my innocence. Wow. It also says beautifully, in Psalm 18, it's describing David calling out to the Lord when he's being attacked. And it says in Psalm 18:16, he reached down from heaven and rescued me. He drew me out of deep waters, and he rescued me from my powerful enemies. And I just clung to that, Lord. I need you to reach down from heaven and rescue me. And it got me through that season. It, you know, I felt like everything was so dark. I felt like everything was so dark, but these verses not only gave me comfort in who God was for me in that season, but it also lifted my eyes to the future. Because later on it says that God arms me with strength. He makes my way perfect. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, enabling me to stand on mountain heights. Wow. So these verses, they you know, came together and reminded me, yes, you do feel like you're drowning right now. Yes, it does look pretty bad. Yes, wow. This is an overwhelming season of your life. But God will meet you there. God will reach down from heaven and rescue you. God will restore you because of your innocence. And in the future, God will enable you to stand on mountain heights. It doesn't end here. So, you know, my passion for the Word of God and for my TikTok that people have just really connected with over the last few months, it comes from the Word of God seeing me through in so many seasons. Because it means something to me now. You know, it means something to me now. It says in Psalm 1 that those who delight in the word of the Lord, essentially, it says that they are like a tree planted, they're like a tree planted by the riverbank, bearing fruit in every season. And, you know, at this point in my life, you know, like I said, I just turned 28. I'm not a kid anymore. And I've seen God move in season after season after season of my life.
Wow.
You know, that gratitude drives that passion. It's easy to return to the Word of God every day.
Wow.
With more zeal, with more, you know, fervor, with a deeper love for it, because I've seen it come through for me and I've seen it comfort me time after time.
Wow, that's, my goodness, I tell you. Whew, it's very powerful. That's very, very, very powerful. Some people talk about religion.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, religion sets people on fire temporarily, but a relationship with God, it's an eternal fire. Where do you think you've gotten that relationship part? Like, is there something you do on a daily basis that continues to allow you to have a deeper relationship with your Creator?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. I think in terms of the you know, religious thinking, at least for me, when I think about my faith as a religion, I think about this is what you can do, this is what you can't do, this is what you can wear, this is what you can't wear. And the truth is, when we're living our lives, it isn't always so cut and dry like that. And sometimes it doesn't leave much room for compassion. Mm-hmm. But when you view living righteously, you know, not as a line that you can or can't cross, but pursuing God's best for your life, you know, and wanting to have a life of closeness with the Creator. That makes a huge difference in how you live your life. And you don't view your life as a list of cans and can'ts. You don't view it as a list of rules for you to follow. It's, you know, how can I please the Lord today? You know, how can I pursue God's best for me? That's truly how I live my life. That's how, you know, I've lived my life since I was a teenager. Not, oh, this is what I can do, this is what I can't do.
Yeah.
But, you know, God, what is your best for me? Because it says that God delights in every detail of your life. Mm-hmm. When you pursue godliness. That's what the Word of God says. And I think having a vision for your life really makes a difference. If you can get a hold of, you know, what is God saying about who I am and what He says that I am capable of, you know, if you know what God's best for your life is, if you have a vision of that, the desire to live contrary to that, it's difficult. You know, it's yeah. difficult to let go of what God
has. I love that you said that, because my first book that I ever wrote was called Life on Purpose.
And, wow.
Yeah, and in that book, I think I have it here. Let me see here. Yeah, let me see here. Is this it? Oh, wow. Yeah, it's right here.
Oops. Oh, nice.
So this is the book here, and it's called Life on Purpose. And it says, allow God to ignite his passion and purpose for you. And in this book, I basically talk about just how all of us, I believe fundamentally that every single human being was sent here to planet Earth with a specific purpose and a specific plan to make a specific contribution to humanity that only they can contribute, everyone. And so it doesn't have to be like, hey, you come up with a cure for AIDS. I'm not saying that, but you have a unique preposition, a unique calling to do, to make that deposit, right? And mm-hmm. so to me, that's something that I've always looked at and say, wow, this is something that's very profound. This is something that is awesome. Very similar to yourself. When I was a teenager, I came across a lot of colorful characters, you know, a lot of interesting people, you know, and, you know, there's some not so nice people. And I remember people encouraging me to like take drugs and to do like, hey, let's do a robbery and let's do all this stuff. Like people literally came up to them and said, hey, let's go rob somebody. Can you imagine that? Anyways, and I'll tell you a little bit of my story. I wasn't always a follower of God, a follower of Christ. So I have one of those radical, testimonies that we'll share a different time, right? Sure. But at a young age, the Lord took a hold of me and in a very profound way. And we had this group that we grew that was a group of like five kids, and we grew it to like several hundred kids. And it was so weird because people in the news kind of like wrote about it. It was just a very weird time. I was just a teenager. And so people would come up to me and be like, hey, let's go and let's do some ecstasy or let's do some drugs. And I'd be like, you know what? And I'd literally say this to people. I'd be like, you know what? I have a purpose in my life. God's given me a purpose. And what you're requesting for me to do doesn't fit into that purpose. Doesn't fit into that direction. So in other words, you're going in one direction, I'm going in another direction. So therefore our paths don't coincide. Our paths don't mm-hmm. click together. So, and I would get so upset with people. Oh my goodness. Like I literally fought someone because they kept trying to force me to do something that I wasn't willing to do. And I was like, I just want you to know, I've been down these paths before. I know where they lead, which is dead end paths. I'm not going down that path. And I take it seriously because if I go down this path with you, I'm literally veering off the highway. And if I'm supposed to be going north and you're taking me south, you're literally taking me away from my purpose. You're okay. wasting my time because life equals time. So if you waste my time, you're literally wasting my life. To say I was a bit uptight about it is an understatement, you know? Have you ever had a situation like that where people were trying to pull you away to maybe tempt you to do certain things that was not a part of God's will or God's plan for your life?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, you know, I can answer that question in two ways. Because on one hand, I think at first when we think about peer pressure and others trying to, you know, get you to do something that maybe takes you away from God's best for your life, it could be, you know, something negative, like, you know, messing around with drugs or, you know, someone saying, hey, let's go rob someone, you know, or it could just be an opportunity that isn't for you, you know, or it could be someone demanding your time for something that just doesn't align with what you need to be doing, you know. The way I've lived my life from when I was in high school, when I was in college, and, you know, even up to now, I am not, you know, showy about my convictions. I'll just, you know, quietly live my life. And most of the time, people haven't really cared. most of the time, people are so worried about themselves. There hasn't been a ton of like, oh, you know, why don't you do this like the rest of us? Don't get me wrong. I've met some real jerks. Yeah. You know, I've met jerks that, you know, would say to me, oh, you know, why don't you just do this with the rest of us? You know, like for example, I personally don't drink alcohol. Yeah. It's just something I've chosen for my life, and I've never made a big deal out of it. I very rarely just, you know, offer that free piece of information. But, you know, when I'm offered it, I'll just quietly decline. And there have been instances where, particularly when I was in college, where someone would say, like, oh, you know, have you ever even tried this? Would you drink it if I bought it for you? Just, you know, silly comments. And I just, you know, quietly be like, no, no, thank you. None of your business. Bye, you know, whatever. But more times than not, that person acting that way really bothered the people around us. Even if they didn't say anything to, you know, rush to my side in that moment, people would come up to me afterwards and say, you know, I don't share your faith. I don't share your convictions. And, you know, they were maybe laid on the floor, drunk in those circumstances. But they would say, I really respect how you handled yourself when that person was being that way last night. But generally speaking, I think sometimes we think if we don't live our lives in what is normal to everyone else, what is normal in a secular lifestyle, we think that everyone will be like, oh, why aren't you doing this? This is crazy. But, you know, people are so involved in their own lives. Just like I'm involved in, you know, my own life. I'm, you know, making plans, making moves. Most of the time, people haven't been that concerned with what I'm doing, except when they notice. You know, sometimes they notice. I'm sure they do, but for the most part.
I'm so glad you brought that up. I'm glad that you say that, because one of my mentors used to always say, if you realized just how little people think about you, you'd be very unconcerned about what people think. Because like you said, most people aren't really thinking about you. I remember years ago when I was a kid, we used to live in this neighborhood where, you know, people would literally get in fights with other people just because people were looking at them. Like,
yeah,
it was almost like they didn't want to be seen. It was like, I don't know if it was, you know, because it was sort of not a nice kind of an area. So I don't know if people were just embarrassed. So if you looked at them, they thought maybe you were exposing something about them, or you were like kind of reading their minds. And so I had so many friends that would literally fight someone, like, and then I'd ask, like, dude, why'd you fight that guy? It's like, oh, he was looking at me. Mm-hmm. It's like they don't want to be seen, and they want to be invisible. And someone looks at them, and they create this narrative in their head. They create this story because of their own insecurity. So you really fought that person, not because of what they did. It was something inside of you. It was your insecurity, you know? Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're like that as humans, right? We project what's going on in us, you know, like they say, hurt people, right? Mm-hmm. So what do you do to energize yourself when you get empty?
That's a really good question. I think looking back on what God has done in my life, thankfulness, gratitude, appreciation, that is the best way to re-energize myself. There's something that I'm believing for right now. And I've been like, oh Lord, you know, I thought you would do this for me in 2020 and this and that, you know, whatever. And when I catch myself just really devolving into whininess and, you know, complaining and, you know, impatience, I will remember back. Sometimes I don't catch myself. Sometimes, yeah. You know, I'm not perfect. Sometimes, you know, it happens. You hop on a train thought that you just, you know, shouldn't. But when I am able to catch myself and be like, no, you know what? I remember what God did for me 2 years ago. I remember how I didn't know what door was going to open. I didn't know how God was going to make a way. And at just the time that he needed to, he opened the door and he made the way for me. I remember when I was a little girl and, you know, God met me here. When I was a little girl, I was in a car accident. Wow. That the airbag came out and wow. Hit my face, and the airbag was very hot, and I had third degree burns all over my face. I did not want to go back to the third grade because, you know, I was, you know, coming back to school with serious wow. scars to my face, and it was a rough time for me. I'll never forget. I was sitting in the ER. I overheard the doctor talking to my mom, and he told her when she's older, she's going to want plastic surgery.
Wow.
Like it was that bad. But
did you get plastic surgery?
I didn't. I have a praying family, praying mom, praying grandmother, and those scars were gone by the time I started fourth grade. And you know, many people have heard that story and they're like, you know what? There's no way you could have had third degree burns. And there's no way that that could have been as bad as you said it was. But you know what? They weren't there. They weren't the doctor treating me. You know, that's what the doctor, said. She has third degree burns and she's a little young for it now, but you will want to give her plastic surgery. So when I think about how, God healed me, how God, restored me, how God reached down from heaven and rescued me. He wow. drew me out of deep waters, how
Come
he's
on.
Enabled me
Ooh. To
stand on mountain height, Ooh. Made me as sure footed as a deer.
Come on.
It's like, no, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in on these things. I'm going to
fire me up now.
We're going to keep coming back to this. Yes. We're going to keep coming back to the
yes.
word of God. It's worth
Come on.
It.
Destiny, tell them how it is. Now, I want you to do this.
Okay.
What time do you usually get up in the morning?
7:30.
Tell me first.
Ideally.
So I want you to walk me through like your morning routine because and here's the philosophy behind it. My mm-hmm. philosophy behind it is if you can command your morning, the first hour of your day literally sets the tone for the rest of your day.
It's true.
So I'm a big believer in setting up a routine in the morning and following that through to get yourself like fired up, stoked yeah. up to be all that you're called to be. Whether you're called to be a businessman, whether you're called mm-hmm. to be a homemaker, whether you're called mm-hmm. to be an employee, a student, whatever. But that's a big thing. It's like you're priming that pump. You're priming that pump. So walk me through a destiny morning.
Yeah, absolutely. So first things first, I wake up. I walk to the coffee pot. I turn on the coffee pot. I go make my bed while the coffee is brewing. Usually by the time my bed is made. I'm a creature of habit. You don't know what you just asked me. So yeah, I make my bed. By the time my bed is made, there's one mug worth of coffee ready in my coffee pot. I take a cup of coffee. I go sit on my bed. I sit in front of my vision board. I sit in front of my current vision board and my old vision board. And I open up the Word of God. I put on worship music and I just drink coffee as I read the Bible out loud. The wildest thing to me about the people that I've really connected with my TikTok, just me reading the Bible out loud, is I've done this. I've just done that for years, just read the Bible out loud to myself for years, starting my day, regardless of where I was, whether I'm starting the day in my house or in a hotel or in an airport or, coffee shop, wherever. This is just how I've lived my life for years, and people just connected with it. But I start every day waking up with the Word of God, letting it wash over me, letting it energizing me. Letting it remind me who I am before the world tries to tell me who I am and what I'm capable of.
Yes.
From there, I pray over my vision board. I thank God for my old vision board and the things that I've seen come to pass in my life. Just, reminding myself what's on my current vision board is not impossible because I know what the Lord has done for me in the past. And then I'll, journal things that just stand out for me in that moment. It might be a scripture that I just copy down and write, what it means to me in that morning. It might be a thought that I have about my future while I'm praying over my vision board, but I'm sure to write it down because you think you'll remember and then you don't. I'm a big fan of taking notes, having a planner, having a calendar.
Habakkuk say, write the vision down and make it plain.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's it?
Yeah. And then, by the time I'm finished with that, I get ready for work. And now, I'm working remotely. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very powerful. I just want you to know that is one of the most powerful, powerful morning routines I have ever heard. And I've heard it. I've asked a lot of people this, some really, really, really high achievers. But that's you're in my top three. I just want you to know.
Whoa.
And I've talked to like presidents of countries before.
Wow.
Really, really. You're literally in my top three.
Thank you.
The only one that I think that has you probably is Tony Robbins or something like that. He gets into like an oxygen chamber and like, you know, breathes all this energy stuff. I'm like,
yeah,
dude, not everyone has that kind of money to just hop in an oxygen tank and get more oxygen than most people. It's like, okay.
I know. Some people work out in the morning and I just am not there. Like, I'll save it for the afternoon. But
Yeah. And do you work out every day?
No, I try to work out 3 times a week.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
And you go to the gym?
I've been doing Krav Maga. Do you know what that is?
No, what's that?
So Krav Maga is Israeli martial arts. It's a self-defense.
Wow.
I've been doing that.
You're just doing it because of you want to do it, or have you had issues?
You know, I've never had an issue. I just needed a change. I hadn't tried anything new in a long time, and why not?
Yeah. You know, it's funny that you say about trying things new.
Yeah.
We, as humans, we always have to. We have these, in our brain, what helps us to memorize things is this thing called myelin sheets. Mm. So the more you do something, it's literally like brain matter. You develop more myelin sheets. So for example, you take someone like Kobe Bryant or Michael Jordan. The reason their shots, they're so consistent at hitting those shots is because they spent so much time developing their shot and actually doing it that it actually has a physical brain function that actually develops. And there's a muscle memory to it as well. And this is the same thing that can happen through memorization. This is the same thing that can happen through scientific practice. And so the more myelin you develop makes it so that you are an expert at something. That's why when you look at Beethoven was a child genius, right? But no, it was, Mozart, Brother Mozart. And they said he started when he was like 3 years old. So by the time he started to create some of his best concertos when he was, you know, 11 and 12, he had spent over a decade almost doing that. So I'm a big believer in perfect practice makes perfection. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a big believer in that. So tell me about a person that you've ministered to before. And that person has probably changed you more than you've changed them. Tell me about someone like that.
Oh, that's a big question. I think I'll give a recent example. Some of the feedback I've gotten from people since I started just reading the Bible on TikTok, of all things, people have reached out to me and they've messaged me saying, you know, I came back to the Lord after seeing your video, or I was praying for God to speak to my husband about something and he saw your video. You know, just life changing events that have happened for people as a result of, you know, me just on TikTok every night at 10 o'clock. And it's wild for me because, you know, I live my life. I am kind of a peacock by like by nature. Like, I'm not gonna lie, like, you know, the friend that always shows up to things and is like way overdressed and, you know, is, you know, having the time of their life, and, you know, that's me in the friend group.
Destiny, I wouldn't know because I'm very shy and demure. Okay. you have to pull it out of me. I'm just the most shyest person. Yeah. In my real life, like, I'm just like so shy.
That's so funny.
I hope you don't believe that.
I don't. You have a podcast. You have all these videos. No, like, you get it. I love to be like, oh.
Where do you get that peacock? Where do you get that from?
I don't know. Cause, I mean, probably my mom. My dad is not like that. My dad is just fine to just chill. But he's, I don't know, he likes to like selectively have everyone's attention. But I never thought, like, if you had told me like, oh, you know, people are going to really connect with with you reading the Bible on TikTok. I'd be like, what? And even the videos that I'm actually in, they don't do very well. I don't know if I've never told you this. I haven't told many people this, but in the beginning, I was just playing around with different like content on TikTok, and there's two videos that my face is actually in. And I mean, they did okay, but they do not do as well as the videos of just my hand reading the Bible. And that's what's made an impact. So, you know, two lessons in this is, you know, one, the word of God is enough. Wow. God does not need me to be like, yes, you know, you know, which I think I know, and I have seen God use people in that way. And
yeah,
I go live on TikTok, and when I go live on Instagram and I'm praying with people, I use my face, so I know God is able to connect with people in that way.
Yeah.
But the word of God is enough.
Sufficient. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, also I want you to tell me maybe two people that have impacted you the most in your life.
Yeah. I mean, my parents are wonderful people, just wonderful people. I mean, my mom both my parents, I think, would do anything for me. Anything I wanted to do when I was a kid, even if they were like, I don't know how this is gonna happen, they would try to make it happen for me. They were always trying to make the best out of rough situations. And, you know, they're just beautiful people, and I'll just count them as, you know, one person. And I think, you know, I'll count them as two people. I think they're two people that have made the most impact on my life. They're wonderful, caring, loving human beings.
Yeah. And did you play sports growing up? Did you play a lot of sports?
Oh, okay. So I was always a tall kid growing up, and people thought like, oh, she'd be great at basketball. And that just is not me. Like I've always enjoyed like athletic. Actually, that's a lie. I haven't always enjoyed athletic activity, but generally speaking, I've enjoyed like being active. My parents put me in like gymnastics or like dance when I was a kid. But when it comes to like an actual being part of like an actual game, I can't pay attention.
How tall are you?
Now I'm only 5'6".
That's pretty tall. That's pretty tall for.
Is it
for a girl? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm 5'6", but
you're above the average. You're above the national average.
Yeah.
What do you do when you want to wild out? If you say I want to do something.
Yeah.
One of my good friends, he's a really, you know, big time mm-hmm. speaker and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he told me a long time ago, years ago, mm-hmm. when I first started to travel across the country. I mean, I started traveling, doing speaking engagements when I was like 16 years old. It was weird.
Okay.
All over the country. I've been to like every state. I've been to like all these different countries, whatever. But he told me, he said, always have something that you do that has nothing to do with like something serious, like, mm-hmm. you know, like your career or your ministry. Always have mm-hmm. like some sort of pastime that you do that just like a normal thing. Like for example, like on Sundays after church, you sit and watch football, your favorite football team, you put on your jersey and whatever, or play golf or something. What is something that you do that's just like maybe not as intense as, you know, your faith, because we all know your faith is amazing. But what is something that you do that just like, this is when I want to just like.
How I unwind.
Exactly.
You're going to laugh. So this is before coronavirus, because obviously like wearing the masks, you know, change some of these things. But before coronavirus, when I just wanted to unwind and, you know, be out of the house, but not do just kind of relax, you know, not be super social, I would go to Dillard's with Starbucks, and I'd just, you know, look at everything and just drink my coffee. And you know, that was a relaxing afternoon for me, just walking around Dillard's or maybe Hobby Lobby. There's something about, I just like seeing like the visual displays, even if I'm not going to buy anything while I'm drinking coffee. But these days, since Corona, it does change things. I love just walking around the park, walking through the grass when it's not 30 degrees outside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, just enjoying being outside, and that I have clean air to breathe and, beautiful blue skies. And yeah. Sometimes there's coffee involved, but
you're a big coffee. So are you a Dunkin' Donuts girl or a Starbucks girl?
I prefer Starbucks over Dunkin'.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. If you had a billboard, what would it be on Destiny's billboard?
On my billboard, it would say, God is good and he cares.
I love that. I really do love that. If you could talk to your 18-year-old self, what would you say to her?
If I could talk to my 18-year-old self, I would say, nothing is going to be like you think it is. But it's going to be great. You'll love it. But it won't be anything like what you think it is.
Wow. Wow. Now, this is kind of morbid, but I do this to all my guests.
Sure.
So I want you to imagine all of your loved ones, all the people that mean the most in your life. And I'm just weird because I've actually sat in a casket and imagined this stuff. Very weird. But yeah, so now there's all the people that love you, all the people that care about you, your minister, your family, and they're there looking at you and you're gone as far as the body, because we know absent from the body means present with the Lord. And you're just there. What do you want to be remembered by? What do you want your legacy to be? What do you want them to say about you? I want you to really think about it. Take a few seconds. Yeah.
Yeah. Since I was a little girl, my mom would tell me about Esther, and she would tell me the story of Esther and how Esther was strategically placed by God to impact a nation, to rescue a generation. And even, you know, generations after that were impacted by her just saying yes in that moment. If that is the legacy that I'm remembered with, I mean, that's my ultimate goal, to be remembered as she was used by God in strategic moments that impacted, you know, maybe it won't impact an entire nation, but on an individual level, if you can impact one person, if you can make a difference in one person's life, it is like you're rescuing the whole world, because who knows? It's the whole world to that one person.
That's true. That's true. So you're a world changer. You're a world changer. That's very, very powerful. You're a world changer. As we are currently right now, we're in the midst of a pandemic, right? And a lot of people are going through a lot. I just want you to I want you to look into that camera. And this person is, they're living a quiet death. In other words, there's a old saying that says many men live quiet lives of desperation. Mm. They might be smiling on the inside, but on the inside they're dying. So I want you to look into that camera, and I want you to speak to that person. It could be a young girl. I had a situation the other day where I saw this girl, and she was wearing a shirt, and the shirt literally drew me to her. And she was like a little teeny bopper girl, probably 11 or 12 years old. And I said to her, I said, you're wearing the shirt of that band. I said, you probably weren't even alive when that band came out. Mm-hmm. Well, it started a conversation with her and her dad. And we got into like this nice little argument with her. We kind of teamed up, her and dad. And like, she was like telling us like how the songs of today are the real songs. And me and her dad are about the same age. So we're like, no, like, you need to listen to this. This is when music was real. But then it turned, the conversation just turned in this weird way. I was just running into the department store to grab something. It was like a divine appointment. And this family was at the brink of the brink of the brink of life and death.
Wow.
And I was just right there at the right time. And it started off with something so benign. It was a shirt that she was wearing. And then I'm looking at her. I'm like, there's no way she even knows what that band is. She probably got it at a thrift store or something, right? It was a shift and a turning point in her life. And her dad, I ended up staying in contact with the dad. And he contacted me. And he said, sir, he said, you have no idea. This was a turning point.
Wow.
He said, you said stuff to her that I could never get through to her.
Wow.
Because of what she was going through in her life. Mm-hmm. He said, just, it was a turning point in her life. Mm-hmm. So I want you to look in that camera and speak to that girl.
Okay. Hi. Whoever you are out there, I want you to know that it is not too late. Too much has not happened. God still has a plan for you. God can still turn it around. If you say yes today or tomorrow, it is never too late. God has a plan for your life, and God wants you to have a good life. He's the good shepherd who will lead you and guide you, renew your strength, and be with you every step of the way and he has good plans for you. It is not too late. It's not too late to fix it, regardless of what it looks like right now. It is not too late. Today is a great time. It's a great time to choose life. Choose life.
Amen. And what if they say to you, you have no idea what I've gone through. I'm in foster care. I've been abused. Mm-hmm. I've been misused. I've been thrown into the trash can like I'm a piece of trash. My parents told me that they didn't even want me. Mm-hmm. So what would you say to that girl?
Yeah, yeah. I think to that girl, I'd say, I don't believe it was God's will for any of that to happen to you. It was not God's will for any of that to happen to you. God sees you. God knows what your pain is. He feels your pain. He feels it. He cares about it. He cares about it. God is good and he cares for you. He's thinking of you and he has a good plan for you. And he wants to help you through your pain. He wants to reach down from heaven and rescue you.
Ooh, wow. This is deep. This is very deep. This is very deep. I don't know what else to say, but this is very deep. So we like to do something that's called one and done.
Okay.
And one and done is just like, basically you are asked a question and you're only supposed to give like one answer. Okay.
Okay. I'll try.
So, I think I already know some of this, though. I already know. All right. So what's the first thing you grab in the morning?
I'm trying to only answer with one word. After I turn off my alarm, the either coffee or the Bible.
Okay. We'll just go with Bible. What's the biggest inspiration in your life?
Bible.
What do you think people notice first about you?
My charm. I'm just kidding.
What is your biggest character flaw?
Ooh, impatience.
What's your biggest strength?
Discipline.
What to you is the perfect or ideal age to be?
28.
High school, terrible or awesome?
Awesome.
Cats or dogs?
Neither.
Oh!
That's actually my biggest.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
I know.
Got the bomb on the right there.
I know.
Oh, okay, we're going to keep on moving. Okay. What's the best adjective to describe you when you're drunk? I kind of know the answer to this one.
Sober.
That's the best answer I got there. It says, do not be drunk with wine as it leads to debauchery, but be ye filled with the Holy Ghost.
My Sunday exactly.
Taught me that. Why does your best friend love you so much?
With one word, because she's a good person.
Where's one place you want to go to more than any place on planet Earth?
More than any place on planet Earth? Right now, it's Germany.
Why Germany?
There's this huge castle that I've been wanting to see. It's the castle that inspired Walt Disney when he drew Cinderella or Sleeping Beauty's castle. Wow. I just really want to see it.
I'll look it up. What's the name of it?
Neuschwanstein.
Oh, okay.
I think I'm saying it right. I'll send you a link.
Privyet. That's what they say over there.
Russian.
Let's see. What's your absolute worst pet peeve?
My pet peeve of others?
Yes, that just bothers you.
I think leaders that don't lead.
Okay.
I'm like, just do it.
Strength. You like strength. I love it. Do you believe there's something after death? I think I know the answer to this one too.
Yes.
What do you think happens after someone dies?
Eternity.
Yeah?
Yeah, eternity.
It is appointed for man to die once and after death, judgment. Another thing my Sunday school teacher taught me. What does someone have to do to instantaneously get on destiny's good side?
Befriend my sister.
Okay. Why is that?
My sister is one of the best, both my siblings, my brother and my sister, they're some of the best people I know. They're some of the most genuine people I know. They're not peacocky like me. So I know if someone is trusted or liked by my brother or my sister, I'm like, okay.
How old is your sister?
She is about to turn 25.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, tell her I'm going to give her a high five. She's my pal. What's one thing someone can do to get on your bad side?
One thing someone can do to get on my bad side. Oh, interrupt me.
You know what? And I have a lot of female friends, and they always say that men tend to do that a lot with women. Why is that? It's like you've been talking, and it's like, oh, well, you have to say it's not important because I'm a dude. I'm a man. I'm like, come on, give me a break.
I don't know what it is.
It's machismo and sexism. That's what it is. Like, how would people around you describe you in one word?
Sassy, smart. Oh, you said one word.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm just like, oh,
that's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Is it okay to sleep with socks on?
Yes.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Now, this is a weird one, but I'll ask it to you anyway. Nah, I'm not going to ask that one. Okay. What's your love language?
Quality time.
Do you believe in ghosts?
The Holy Ghost.
I love it. Oh, this one is good. What's your vice? Ooh.
Oh, this is going to be really dorky. Popcorn.
Once you pop, you just can't stop.
That's so really good.
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, or LinkedIn. What's your favorite?
Instagram.
Favorite recording artist, music-wise?
Man, I love... Oh, this is hard. Pass. No, I'm just kidding. I love Bethel right now, music-wise. Okay. Yeah, I love
good.
Bethel.
Some good music.
Yeah.
Good music. Do you believe in organizing your life or just letting love and letting life live?
Organize.
Okay. Are you more right-brained or left-brained?
Left is the creative and right is the, like, type A.
Left is analytical, right is more creative.
I don't know.
Logic, logic or creativity? You could pick one.
Probably logic.
Do you believe that opposites truly attract?
Yes, but sometimes they attack.
Whoa! let's move on to the next one. Do you believe in asking for permission or asking for forgiveness?
Permission.
Do you think chemistry is instant or does it grow over time?
Both.
Okay, this is a good one. Are there any situations in which it's okay to lie to not hurt someone's feelings?
Yes.
Are you comfortable during... with having silence during a conversation?
Sometimes.
If you could pick out of these two things, love or money, which one would you pick?
I think love. I think love. I don't know.
All right, let me ask it this way. If you could get $1 billion mm-hmm. or have your knight in shining armor, what would you pick? You had one choice.
I'll take the knight in shining armor.
Okay. Let's see. TV shows or movies?
TV shows.
Books or magazines?
Books.
Do you think it's better to have loved and lost or to have never loved at all?
Love and loss.
Mm. Describe the one thing that brings you ultimate happiness.
The Bible.
Mm. Well, Ralph Waldo Emerson had a quote, one of my favorite quotes in my life. It says, "The greatest portion that a man can give is a portion of thine self." Destiny, it has truly been a plum-pleasing pleasure and a privilege to be in your presence. I was enriched. I was blessed beyond what you could ever think or imagine. Thanks for giving a portion of yourself. Thanks for giving a whole big gulp of yourself, a big jug of coffee, you know, of yourself. And when I started this podcast, I thought about people like you. I get emails all the time, and I get emotional thinking about this, and people listen to stuff that I've recorded years ago, and it changes their lives. It gives them these, what I call these seismic shifts, these pivotal shifts in their minds. You know, I know for a fact that this is going to impact my audience because my audience, like I said, a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of creatives, fashion designers, you know, professional athletes, business people. Mm. And so when they hear this conversation, it's a little bit different than what they're probably typically used to, but what we have to start to realize as a society is that we need to stop defining ourselves based on what we do. For example, if you're a doctor, you know, no, you're not a doctor. You're a human being first. Mm-hmm. You're a child of God first that happens to actually practice medicine, which is kind of weird because after like 10 or 12 years of doing something in school, you shouldn't be practicing anymore. Okay, it should be something that you know how to do. But that's a whole other story, you know. You're not an NFL player. No. You're a human being. You're a creation of God Almighty. You know, you're creating God's image that just so happened to have a really great skill of knowing how to play football or basketball. I think what happens when the people get what I call cognitive dissonance
they have their lives fall apart is because they're tending to one aspect of their lives, but we don't realize that human beings are like a diamond. We're multifaceted. Mm-hmm. We're not just one thing. We're not just physical beings. We're not just spiritual beings. We're physical. We're spiritual. We're analytical. We're logical. We're metaphysical. We're bing. You know what I'm saying? I started to rap a little rhyme there, but anyways. But we're if you want to have the full experience of life, and to be all that the Creator has called you to be, then you need to develop a spiritual life. You need to develop a business mind life. You need to develop relationships with other people, like having friends, just like people to go through life with. We need each other. We're not an island. We're only here for a very short amount of time. And so we need to make the best out of it. So, and I think what you did very well today is you got into your talking about the spiritual side of us. One of the things that impacted me was C.S. Lewis had a quote. He said, if you're looking for something in this world to satisfy you and you realize that nothing in this world satisfies you, then perhaps you need to look outside the world. Mm. And that is the most essential question. Thank you.
It has been a pleasure and a privilege. Please go to GibsonSylvester.com/podcast to find out more about this podcast and also to browse helpful resources that will help you in your personal and business life. Thank you very much.